All right, so last day, last show. I'm assuming you all must really love C++, don't you? Good, you're in the right room. So my name is Raman Sharma, and I'm the last man standing between you and supposedly the biggest Microsoft decade party that we have ever had. Please do not keep that in mind when you fill out the evaluation forms for this session. So anyway, I'm a program manager working for the C++ team at Microsoft. And my most recent focus has been on providing a great development experience for building Windows 8 Metro-style apps using C++, which is what we're going to talk about today. So this is roughly the agenda that we're going to follow today. We're going to talk about the overall role that C++ plays in the Metro-style app world and the different programming models and scenarios that C++ participates in. We're going to talk about C++ CX, which is the new set of language and library features that VS 2012 introduces specifically to program for Windows 8. Then we're going to talk about the XAML support for C++, which is again a new feature in VS 2012. And in the end, we'll take a look at an example of one HTML and JavaScript Metro-style app working with C++ in the same app. So since this is a level 300 session, we'll begin slow, but then I'm going to throw a lot of code at you. So try to keep up. So one thing that I can safely claim is that C++ is the only language that plays an equally important role in all the three major programming models for building Metro-style apps for Windows 8. So XAML, which has traditionally been a domain only of the .NET languages, now provides full-fledged C++ support. HTML and JavaScript apps can now call into C++ components in the same app using the new Windows runtime technology that Windows 8 has exposed. And DirectX, which has historically been the domain of C++, continues to be so. And as you probably know, games are the top-selling app category on any consumer platform. And the best way to create high-performance, graphics-intensive games, 3D games, on the Windows platform is still DirectX. And C++ plays a huge role there. And with XAML comes designer support. Designer support, the concept of dragging and dropping, creating your own UI in a design surface, as a concept has been unknown to C++ developers for quite some time. So we are bringing it back, and you can see that with Blend and the Visual Studio Designer. And of course, people flock to C++ for the power and performance benefits because it allows you to extract the most value out of the underlying hardware. And that value proposition is still true. Especially in this day and age that there are so many devices and so many form factors, especially those with limited resources and higher processing demands, C++ really helps you out there. So I like to begin with a summary, as you can see from this slide. So if I were to summarize all the VS 2012 features that you would touch upon in the process of building a Metro-style app using C++, this slide would do that. So as you can see, we have tools for the entire end-to-end experience. We have project templates, VS project templates to get you started so that you don't have to write boilerplate code. We do it for you. We have design surfaces in terms of rich tools like Blend and also some design support within Visual Studio to allow you to create your own UIs. And then we have regular coding productivity tools like IntelliSense, like Object Browser. And there are item templates that allow you to enhance your apps by adding features while you're building them. We have the new language, of course, C++ CX, that we're going to talk about more later. We have new tools, new debugging tools like a revamped debugger and a simulator that are special because they understand some unique traits of Metro-style apps. Things like Metro-style apps are supposed to be full screen. They are not regular command line int main kind of apps. They have different activation contexts, and they talk to the operating system in different ways. They're supposed to run on different form factors, different resolutions, different orientations. So these tools like the simulator and the debugger really understand all those traits and help you and create high-quality Metro-style apps. And then ultimately, we have VS also provides you tools to package and deploy your Metro-style apps in just the right way, in following all the guidelines that Metro-style apps have for creating your apps. And so with that, let us just jump into the product and see some of those features in action within the product itself. Let me jump to my demo machine. OK. So this is Windows 8 release preview, and I'm running VS 2012 RC, the release candidate on it. Both of them are free downloads. If you've not tried them, I'd urge you to go ahead and try them. There are a few cool things you can do with them. So if I go to File, New, Project, under C++ Windows Metro Style, you see a bunch of project templates there. So five on the top are app templates, and the four on the bottom are libraries and components. So we're going to focus on app templates. So we have both XAML templates as well as DirectX templates. What these templates really do is they help you get started in terms of providing a good structure, a good starting point, where you can start filling in your code and make use of all the traits of MetroStyle apps that are pre-built into these templates. If I select one of them, for example, the grid app, and say OK, I get a lot of code for it. This project has some XAML files. This project has some C++ files. So I'll hit F7 to build this project right away without writing any code. So as you can see in the Solution Explorer here, there are a few things that we are not used to in C++ projects. There are some XAML files. There's something called package.apex manifest. And we'll take a look at them more in greater detail later. But let me now just hit F5 to run this app like I would do any project inside VS. So as you can see, I almost have a full-fledged app here. It follows a structure. It's called a grid template. It's actually a group of grids. So it's already touch-friendly to begin with. This is a touch monitor that I have. And without writing any code, it has the right Metro interface. It has touch friendliness. The navigation is built into the project template as well. You can dig deeper. So this is called a grid template. It's very useful for any kind of a media consumption experience. If you want to provide an experience in which somebody needs to explore, go deeper, and finally arrive on some place where they want to spend more time, this is a very useful template for any kind of that experience. Magazines, news apps, and things like that. So let me close this app and go back to VS. Stop debugging. So right now, I ran the app inside something we call on the local machine itself. But if you want to run the app on a remote machine, for example, if you have another device attached to the machine, then you can do that too using the remote debugger. But if you do not have a remote machine and you still want to simulate the experience of running your app on different form factors, you have something called a simulator debugger that you can use for that purpose. And using this simulator debugger, if I run it, you'll see this simulator come up. And using this simulator, you can simulate a lot of things like form factor, like orientations, like resolutions, and even the basic touch mode of touch monitors if you do not have a touch monitor. For example, I can see how my app really responds if I change the orientation of my app, orientation of the monitor. And also, if you do not have touch, you can actually simulate the touch experience using mouse. And right now, this app has nothing to do with geolocation coordinates, but there's a functionality for using location as well. So you can simulate some location, some latitude and longitude, and then your app can respond to that. So again, this is a very useful feature if you want to build apps that are going to run on multiple devices. So if you're going to build a Metro-style app, chances are you're going to be using some Windows Runtime API, which is a new set of API that Windows has introduced for Metro-style apps. And the best way to explore and understand the universe of Windows Runtime API is through the good old Object Browser tool. So let me bring up the Object Browser tool. And if I browse the components and settle on Windows, you'll see that I have all these API nicely arranged by their namespaces. So if I go deeper into any of the namespaces, I find that there are interfaces and classes and enums under those namespaces. If you click on a class, you see the class description as well as the class members and the properties inside that class. If you click on one of these elements, you see their description at the bottom. So this is a very useful tool for you to not only explore what is available out there, but also to search for something. For example, if you're interested in some imaging API, which, by the way, now are available to all the languages, not only to C++ and .NET, but also to JavaScript. You can search for imaging, and you can settle on imaging. You see that there are imaging API and Windows graphics imaging. So Object Browser, again, is a very useful tool to have in your kitty to explore what is out there. And we see these XAML files here. And C++ projects now understand XAML. They know what to do when you build a project with a XAML file, and they know what to do when you open up a XAML file. Let me just open up a XAML file. It opens up in a design surface within VS. This is a split design surface. On the top, you have a surface in which you can drag, drop, and create elements. And on the bottom is the text view of the XML. XAML is XML after all. So as you can see, if I move my focus on the bottom window, the focus on the top window changes as well. It's too small, you probably can't notice right now. So I'm not going to do any design right now because we're going to focus on C++, and also because I want to keep my design skills a well-kept secret. So those are useful things. So there's something else called package.apex manifest here. So Windows 8 introduces this new concept called Apex packages. Now, an Apex package is nothing but a single unit of deployment that contains all the elements of your app, whether they are binaries, whether they are resources, assets, images, anything that you want to have inside your app needs to be inside one package. And using this tool called Package Manifest Editor, you can actually specify the properties of your package. For example, you can specify what display name you want for your app on the start screen, and what kind of an entry point does your app have, and also the description that you want your app to have when your app eventually goes to the App Store. And also, what kind of capabilities do you want? Does your app really want to access music library, pictures library? All this really helps Windows to understand the kind of things your app does. And Windows, in turn, can alert the user that, hey, this app is going to use webcam functionality. And they can alert the user, do you really want to allow that? And things like that. And also, within Windows, there are concepts like contracts. Contracts are different entry points where your app can interact with the operating system as well as other apps. So using this tab, you can actually specify the different contracts that your app wants to participate in. For example, if you want to support search or sharing inside your app, you can actually go ahead and declare inside this screen, and the right properties will be set up in your Apex package when you upload them to the store. So by doing this, you're telling the operating system that you want to participate in search, so that whenever a user searches anything on the machine through the start screen, your app can also offer results. So useful things there. And then again, some package metadata also that you can specify using package.apex manifest. So right now, the Windows Store, the App Store, is not really open to all the developers to upload their apps. But when it does open, you'll find yourself spending quite some time in this field because you want to get all the characteristics of your package right. Now, one thing that comes along with XAML is design support. And C++ developers now get to take advantage of the design support. And the best part is that from within Visual Studio, you can actually open up your XAML projects in Blend. You can go to Open in Blend, and when you click on that, you'll see that your project opens up in Blend. So this XAML file cannot be loaded, but if I go to my projects and open up this XAML file, for example, you can see a much richer design surface in Blend. Blend is the design tool. You can do more things like design animations, create storyboards, things you cannot do in Visual Studio. And VS, we think of VS as the coding tool. So we have good functionality in both places. The best part is Blend now understands C++ projects, and I can actually run my app from within Blend. So again, the same app launches here, and I can do the same sort of things that I did earlier. If I go to Blend, so if you see that, if you go to File, New Project inside Blend, under XAML, you'll see the same set of project templates that you saw earlier in VS. So you have blank, grid, split. If I select the split template and say OK, I'll just hit Control-Shift-B to build this project. And as soon as the project builds, you'll see the design surface is updated with the XAML file. But the best part is that you're able to build your project. You're able to build your C++ project from within Blend. So the build is completed, and you can see the design surface there. Again, I'm not going to do any design right now, but if I run this app, this is yet another template which provides you common Metro functionalities. It's touch friendly and all that. So this kind of a template can be very useful for, like, if you have any scenarios in which you want to present a detail of an information to the user, but still maintain the overall context on the left. So things like RSS readers or emails, anything like that, this is a useful template for that. So let me close this. and close this and actually switch back to my slides. So that was a quick tour of the IDE features in VS 2012. But let's really talk about the language, which is the core part that enables every single feature that you will see for Metro style apps in for Windows 8. So how many people have heard of C++ CX? Okay. And how many people have programmed with C++ CX? Okay, just one. Oh, couple of more people. All right. So a lot has been said and written about C++ CX ever since we announced it last year at the Build conference. So let me try to provide my spin as well. So C++ CX is a set of language and library extensions that allow you to use a special family of API introduced by Windows 8 called Windows Runtime API. Now, this Windows Runtime technology builds on top of COM. And if you have any experience programming for COM with C++, you'll know that you do it either through raw interface pointers, calling a bunch of add refs, releases, and query interfaces, or you use a template library like ATL. C++ CX tries to build all of those concepts into the language itself. It's a very high-level abstraction, so that you don't have to deal with the underlying details. It's strongly typed. You rarely ever deal with interfaces. You talk to classes, objects, and their API, just the way we think about our software. It's automatically reference counted. You, as programmers, do not need to deal with add ref releases and managing the reference counts of your objects. The compiler does it automatically for you. And it's exception-based. So most Windows Runtime API throw exceptions just the way any modern C++ code should do. And you're not really required to check the H result values of all the API and then decide what to do next. It's all exception-based. And C++ CX is also deeply integrated with powerful C++ libraries like the standard template library. So you can create STL containers of C++ CX objects. You can run STL algorithms on C++ CX containers. And even the C++ CX, special C++ CX containers that we have provided build on top of STL in their underlying implementation. And the best part is that it is all native. So there has been some confusion that the C++ CX syntax is very similar to C++ CLI because you have refnew, you have ref class, and hats, and all those things. So there must be some .NET or some CLI involved there. None of that is true. The code that you built using C++ CX is pure native code that runs natively on the underlying architecture. There is no .NET, there is no virtual machine, there is no CLI involved at all. So you get all the benefits of running pure native code. A few things that you need to know if you're doing any C++ CX development. So we have new keywords. We have ref class, which is used to define a Windows Runtime class. We have refnew, which is used to instantiate a Windows Runtime class to create an object. And then we have this weird-looking hat or caret that really signifies a reference to a Windows Runtime object. Windows Runtime, or WinRT, also creates some collection interfaces so that when you're using some API or when you're designing your own API, you can allow passing of collections of objects rather than just individual objects. So C++ CX makes it easy for you by providing concrete implementations of these interfaces in a header called collection.h. So in collection.h, you'll see map, vector, map view, and vector view, which are the read-only forms of map and vector. And then we have something called PPL tasks library. So Windows Runtime is full of asynchronous API. You'll see that 90% of the API that Windows exposes through Windows Runtime are asynchronous API. And this is because Windows 8, one of the core principles, is being fast and fluid. Your apps should be responsive even when they are making calls into long-running operations. And the best way to do that is by providing non-blocking asynchronous API. So C++ CX makes it easy for you to call those asynchronous API through this library called PPL tasks library, which builds on top of PPL, or parallel patterns library, that we introduced in VS 2010. Using this library, you can not only use the asynchronous API created by Windows, but you can also expose your own asynchronous API that can then be used inside your app or in some other apps. And then we have features like properties, events, delegates, and partial classes. If you've done any .NET programming, you'll be familiar with these concepts. Now C++ provides support for them as well. And the best part is that the XAML support, which we're going to talk about next, uses all these features heavily to provide the programming model for XAML and C++. So let me ask you this. How many people here are not familiar with XAML? Okay, so few people. I'm still going to do a XAML 101 because I think the words XAML and C++ in the same sentence still confuse a lot of people. So XAML is a UI framework that allows you to create your UI in a declarative fashion. You can declare your UI in a simple XML format that describes an object tree of your UI elements. And when your app runs, the XAML runtime, which is now a part of Windows, understands that object tree and creates and draws all those UI elements on the screen, just like described by the object tree. So that's a very simple description. XAML also provides rich layout support, like panels and grids and canvases, using which you can neatly organize all the UI elements of your app so that they can adapt to the different form factors and different orientations. XAML also provides a rich set of pre-built UI controls that you can readily use inside your app through Blend or through just putting them into your XAML files. You can also create your own, you can compose your own elements and provide special behaviors for them. And since all of this is done, it is expressed in a declarative way. It lends itself very naturally to scenarios like designers. So we have tools like Blend and Visual Studio, which allow you to manually compose, drag, drop, and draw your own UI in very rich design surfaces. So you have all that goodness with XAML. And this slide really talks about how XAML and C++ play together to provide a very, very easy-to-use programming model. So if you look at the XAML statement on the top, all it is trying to do is it is trying to create a button and with some attributes like name, width, height, content, etc. What this translates to in C++ is instantiating an object of the type button, now assigning it to a member variable called test button, and then setting some properties on that object, which is exactly what you can see from the C++ generated code in the middle. Now, this code is actually generated for you by a special tool called Markup Compiler, which VS runs on your XAML files. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, you don't have to ever touch this code because VS takes care of it in the background. But what you do have to worry about is the event handlers, because that is where your application logic is going to be. That is where your application logic really belongs. So if you look at the last part of that XAML statement, it says click equal to test button underscore click. Now what that means is that you want a member function called test button underscore click to act as the event handler for the click event. And when you have a definition for the click event at the bottom, you can write whatever code you want to in response to handling the click event. So as simple as that. Designing this kind of a behavior in existing C++ frameworks can actually be a lot of code. Another very powerful concept in XAML is data binding. So data binding really allows you to link some UI elements inside your UI to some code, to some data inside your code, so that whenever the data updates, your UI can update dynamically, or vice versa. And you do that through some very simple syntax. So for example, every C++ class that needs to act as a data source for UI needs to be marked with a special attribute that you see in yellow there. This attribute is called Windows UI XAML Data Bindable. And the concept of attributes itself is a new feature in C++ CX in VS 2012. And then once you have created this class, in XAML, instead of hard coding the UI, you can instruct the UI to derive its value from a property of a C++ class. For example, in the XAML statement at the bottom, the text of the text block is really coming from the title property of the class defined at top. So we'll see more examples of this XAML data binding in our next demo now. Okay, so I'll switch to my demo machine again. All right, I'll close this one and open up this existing project that I have. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a small app building exercise. I warned you, this is going to happen. So I have this project to start with already, and we're going to add more features to it incrementally. So the app that we're going to build is an app that loads and displays some images, and then it tries to detect faces in it. So just the right kind of a problem to solve using C++, right? So I have this project, and if I just run it, It's an empty screen, and if I bring up the app bar using right click, I see two buttons in there. One is load photos, and the other is detect faces. Both of them do not do anything right now because we have no handler code in there. So let me just close this app and go back to VS and see why that is the case. So I'm going to, I have a mainpage.xaml XAML file which describes the main UI of my app. Let me bring up this XAML, this time not in the designer, but in the regular XML text editor. So as you can see, this is a very simple XAML, less than 50 lines of code. It contains an app bar at the bottom that we saw earlier. It contains two buttons. But where we want to focus on is really the top part, which is the main app UI. It's a grid right now, and it contains only two elements. One is the text block, which is the application title. We are not interested in that. The second part is a grid view. So we're going to fill in this grid view. This grid view is empty right now because let's see why it is empty. This grid view is actually a collection of images. And this grid view, which is a collection of images, is bound to a collection of data inside my code. And this collection of data is called input file list. And this input file list must be empty, which is why I'm not seeing anything in my UI. So let's try to fill in that thing. But before we do that, let's take a look at some code as well, which is generated along with the main page XAML file. So you'll see that the header file corresponding to my XAML is a very simple header file with just one class called main page. This has a few event handlers, and it has two properties. One is called input file list, which we just saw in the XAML, and the second is called face file list. Can you see the code all right back there? Should I increase the font? All right. And the second is called face file list, which we're going to use later on. But for now, let's jump to the C++ file. And if I come down in the C++ file, I'll see all these empty event handlers. Nothing happens when you click the load button because there's no code in there. So we're going to put some code in there. We're going to allow the user to select some images from the disk and then display them in the UI. Now, whenever I see someone copying and pasting code in a demo instead of writing it themselves, I find it's a bit lame. But then I think, is it really better if I try to write all that code, make a few mistakes, and try to fix 225 compiler errors in front of a live audience, fail at doing that, and still paste the code? So I decided I'll just paste the code. So inside this code, especially if we can talk about it. So I've just pasted this code here. And let's see what this code is doing, actually. You'll see elements of both C++ CX usage as well as Windows API in this code. So the first statement is, using the ref new feature, I have instantiated this class called FileOpenPicker, which is a Windows runtime class. And how do I know that? If I go to this class and hit F12, VS will open the definition of that class directly in the object browser. And I can see that FileOpenPicker creates a new instance of FileOpenPicker. This is a class inside Windows. And all I'm doing here is I'm instantiating this class, I'm setting a few properties, and then I'm calling this API called pick multiple files async. And again, I can check out the definition of this API as well by hitting F12. And the description tells me that it shows the file picker so that the user can pick multiple files. Now, that's very useful. So one curious thing that you'll notice from the name of this API is that it's an asynchronous API, which means that it is not going to do the job right away when you call it, but it will return right away. What it will return is a special interface called Windows Foundation iAsync operation. So let's see what we do with that. If I go back to my code, I'll see that we are taking the operation returned by this API. We are putting it inside something called a task. Now, this task is coming from the PPL tasks library that I told you about earlier. If you were not using this library, then you can easily add about 50 lines of code exactly to do the same thing. So PPL task library makes it very easy for you. Now, once you have created a task, all you need to do is you need to call the dot then method of the task and provide a lambda which you want to execute when the asynchronous operation returns. And when the asynchronous operation returns, it gives you all the files that the user has selected in this vector. And if you come down, using the actual STL algorithms like for each, which is non-C++ CX code, this is pure standard C++ code, you can use these algorithms to iterate over whatever is returned by this asynchronous API. You can go over each file, and then you add each file to this list called input file list, which we already saw is acting as a data source for my grid view UI. So if I go ahead and build this, if I do load photos now, I'll see that it brings up a UI. Now this is a file, you can think of this as a file open UI for the Metro world. I didn't create this UI. This has been popped up by Windows itself. So I can see all these locations. I can go to them some place in the file system. Like for example, right now I'm in the pictures library. There are different folders. I can go to the people folder and maybe select a few images and say open. And through data binding, my UI automatically gets updated from the lists that I've just loaded. So if I go ahead and say load photos and select all of them and open, it loads all of those images. And you can see that the grid view that I'm using is by default touch friendly. I didn't have to write a single line of code to make it respond to touch. So that's a very simple example of XAML data binding and C++ CX working together. But what we really want to do is we want to now add a feature to this app. We want to add feature for face detection. But how do we do that? We are not image processing scientists or experts at that, right? But we know how to search on the internet. So I go to Bing or Google in your case, and you can search for a very powerful C++ library which does exactly that. So I did that, and I found this library called OpenCV, which does exactly that. It detects objects inside images, so I can detect faces inside an image. So I downloaded that, and I can use that library readily inside my project. If I go to my project and say references and add new reference, you'll see all these options now here. Now, if you're a component or a library builder, here's what you need to know. So VS 2012 provides you a new concept called extension SDKs. You as a library or a component vendor can create an extension SDK, and you can ship it to VS Extensions Gallery. And I or any other app developer in the world can download that extension SDK directly from within VS, and VS will install it in such a way that the SDK is ready to be used by any app that you're trying to build using VS. So I see all these options here. Assume that the creator of the OpenCV library actually created this SDK and uploaded to the extensions gallery. But I did it, but you can assume that. So all I need to do now is select this and say OK. By doing just that, this library is ready to be used inside my project. I don't need to go ahead and change any settings, look at any properties, or change the header file paths, change the library paths, or anything like that. So I can use the library now. I can make API calls into the library. But before we do that, let's go back to the XAML file. So inside the XAML file, I don't have any UI right now to display faces. So I'm going to add that UI by just copying this existing grid view. And let me change a few things inside this grid view so that I'll change the name because we need to refer to the name later on in C++. I'll change the source from where this grid view is deriving its images. I'll call it face file list. Let's change the row in which we want this grid to appear. It's the second row of the grid. And let's actually allow a little selection in this grid for a few things later we want to do. And since these are just faces, let's actually reduce the size that we want to display for these images. Okay, so that's about the XAML. So let's go back to the main page.xaml.cpp. And since we have added a reference to this third-party SDK now, let's use some code from that SDK by copying some more code. So again, I've copied these less than 10 lines of code here. So what am I doing here? I'm using a component called VinRT component from this namespace called VinRT face detect. How do I know what they are? You can again hit F12, and you'll see that the object browser understands whatever is available inside that extension SDK. And it can show you that we have this namespace called VinRT face detect, inside which you have only one class called VinRT component, which has three APIs. One is a constructor, and two API called extract faces from files async and search files. So that's good. We can explore this SDK very easily using Object Browser. And what we do next is we call this API on this object called extract faces from files async. Now, this is an async API, just like the one we saw earlier, with one subtle difference. In this case, we are not really interested in the result, in the results when the operation finishes. We are interested in the progress that this API has to report, because the way this API has been designed is that it starts acting on all the images, and as it detects faces, it keeps sending back to the caller. So you can see that I've created a progress handler for this operation, and all I'm doing in this progress handler is taking the progress, which is actually the path of the face file, and adding it to this list called face file list, which we already know is acting as the data source for the face grid. And when I call dot then, I provide it an empty lambda, because I'm not really interested in whatever happens when the operation finishes. So let me go ahead and build it. If I run this app now and do the same set of operations as I did earlier, if I select all the images and open, bring up the app bar and detect faces, you'll see that it'll start detecting faces and it'll start displaying them in an asynchronous fashion as it discovers them. Your UI is not really blocked. You can continue to do things that you were doing earlier. So just to prove that it is really acting on the images and not these are not some pre-built images, you can select a different set of photos. So one of the faces is I think not getting recognized. The software is not really perfect. But anyway, so there's an app. You can load images, you can display faces and things like that. Now we want to extend this app. We want our app to participate in more Windows 8 scenarios. We want to plug into all the places that people can play with Windows 8. So what if I want to add search functionality into my app? If I want to select some images and go to the charms bar and select share. So it says there's nothing to share right now because my app doesn't really support share functionality. So let me close this app. And next we are going to add search functionality. Sorry, share functionality. So the way to add share is really simple. All you need to do is you need to override a member function called onDataRequested, and you need to fill in the share request with whatever data you share with other apps. So let's go ahead and do that again using the same old pattern called copy and paste. It's very useful. So this is actually a very simple code. All this code is doing here is it's looking at all the images, all the faces that the user has selected, and then it is taking whatever C++ object we have corresponding to the selection and passing it back to the share request. So let's go ahead and build it. You can see it at every stage I'm pasting some code, but it's not no more than 9 or 10 lines of code using which you're able to add rich functionality into your app. Let's do the same thing. Actually, select all, open, and detect faces. And now if I select some of these images and go to share, I see all these options listed here. Like my app has no knowledge of all those options. These are all apps that have registered with the Windows operating system to receive sharing data in a particular format. And my app just happens to be sharing data in the same format. So all these apps are listed there. So I can select something like email because the mail app supports that. And I can send this email to myself. So done. To prove that the email actually came, I can go to my mail client. Only if it behaves. Okay, I'll quit that. Going back to my app, so that was share. The next thing that we want to do in our app is add search functionality. So in order to add search functionality, we'll use a VS 2012 feature called item templates. So I'll just right-click on my project and go to add new item. Under Windows Metro style, you'll see all these options. And I have something called a search contract here. If I select that, it will add a bunch of C++ source files and header files along with some XAML files which describe the UI for search. And the best part about using these templates is that you will rarely ever need to make any changes to the UI. The UI in the XAML is already correctly set up with correct data binding, so that all you need to do inside your code is just fill in some lift and some elements so that your UI can automatically be populated through those elements. So in this case, you'll see that this is generated code, and you'll also find some really nice to-do comments about what exactly are you supposed to do here. So in this case, what I'm supposed to do here is provide some code for searching. So I'll go to this function. I don't really need some of this. And again, paste some code here for search. What am I doing? What kind of code did I paste? So this is the code that I've pasted here. So this code, as you can see, it instantiates the WinRT component, the third-party component that I had earlier. And this time, I'm calling a different API. I'm calling a search files API. And I'm passing it the search query that the user has typed in. And whatever it returns me as result, I'm adding all of the files into this file, into this list called results list. And this results list, through data binding, is already set up to act as a data source for the UI. So if I build this, and do the same steps again. And now if I bring up the charms bar and go to search and type in face, I'll see a separate UI. I didn't even look at this UI. I didn't even know what this UI looks like, and I was able to program for it. So this UI is, again, has all the elements of a Metro-style app. It's touch-friendly. It is correctly laid out. It has the right navigation functionalities and so on. And the best part about this, the search contract, is that your app doesn't even need to be running. For example, if I'm just here in the start screen, and if I start typing face, I'll see at the bottom on the right side, you'll see all the apps that can offer you results for this search term. So if I select my app, for example, my app will return all the files that match the word face. So if I say friends, it will offer a different set of results, all the files that match the word friends. So this is a very useful feature to have. In order for your app to be able to plug it into the different Windows 8 scenarios. So that's search. Now, one thing I want to have in my app is also the functionality to... Okay, let me go back to my app. You'll notice that when I load photos, when I bring up this dialog, which is a Windows dialog, and I select files, you'll see a bunch of options here. You'll see some file system locations, some network, and at the bottom, you also see some apps. These are the apps that are willing to offer images to any app that can accept images. So this is like a file open dialog where the results are coming not only from the file system, but also from apps. So if I select camera, for example, here, you'll see that the camera UI has popped up inside my app itself. And I'm there, and I can actually select and say OK and open. You'll see that image actually pops up in my UI, in my app's UI. If I go ahead and say detect faces, it is able to recognize my face, which is proof that I'm human. But what I really want to do is that I want my app to be lifted in that lift as well. I want that my app is about faces. I want every possible situation in this universe where people want faces to go through my app. So how do I do that? I do that through another item template called file open picker contract. And we'll do that again through the VS. Let's go to add and new item under Windows Metro style. This time I'll select a different option. And this option is file open picker contract. And when I add that, just like earlier, I have some XAML files and I have some C++ and header files. I'm not really interested in the XAML file because I know already that the XAML file is correctly set up with data binding. And I, as a programmer, just need to fill in some data elements. And again, very nice to-do comments about what exactly are you supposed to fill in there. So I'll do exactly that. So what am I doing here? So I, again, instantiate the same old third-party component that we talked about earlier. And this time around, I call the search files with the search term predefined called face, because I just want to lift all the faces whenever somebody opens up my app. And then again, I'm iterating through that list and adding each and every path of the face to this list called files list, which is already set up as a data source for the UI. Now, since this is the file open picker contract and your UI is going to display as a part of some other app, you need to do something more. You need to actually return all the elements that the user has selected from your app to the caller app. So there's one additional step in this method called file grid view selection changed. If I paste this code here, again, some very simple code. All it is doing is it is looking at the list of all the things that the user has selected, and then it is adding them back into the file open picker UI so that the calling app can use those elements. So let's go ahead and build the app. So I have all the faces now. But since in this case my API, my UI is going to show up as a part of some other app, I don't really want this. I don't really want my app running. So I'll close it, and let's go to some other app which can say file open. So maybe the mail app can do that. Let's try to compose an email and to myself. And when I go to attachments, I see that my app is actually listed as one of the options down here. So I can select XAML Face Finder, and this is actually my app's UI. And we didn't even know what this UI looks like. All we did was we added some elements to a list, and that list did everything. So I can select some of them and say attach, and all of them are passed back to the mail app. And I can send this image, be done with it. Okay, so the previous mail has just arrived. All right, so let me close this and go back. So that was a quick tour of how XAML, C++, and Windows 8 contracts really come together to provide interesting scenarios. So let's go back to the PowerPoint. So another very interesting scenario that the Windows runtime technology enables is creation of these hybrid apps, using which you can create components in different languages and have them talking to each other inside the same Metro-style app. Now, you'll ask, why would you want to do something like that? And the reason is that while you're building an app or any software solution, really, you're trying to solve different problems, multiple problems. You're solving database problems. You're solving networking problems, UI problems, performance problems. And there is no single language or single technology that is best suited for all these problems. If it is about web services or talking to like sending HTTP requests, creating quick UI, then HTML and JavaScript are really suitable for those things. And if you want to do something really heavy-duty, performance-oriented task, like image processing or matrix multiplication, real-time video rendering, then C++ is your best friend for doing that. Now you can do that. You can use all these technologies, all these languages inside the same app and get them talking to each other. And in doing that, you can reuse your existing code, whether it is web assets like HTML and JavaScript or your native assets like your C++ libraries. You can create thin wrappers using C++ CX on top of your C++ libraries and use them from any language. So, and another reason why you would want to do that is everyone seems to be doing it. If you've installed Windows 8 Release Preview, you'll see all these apps. All of these apps are created by different Microsoft teams. Some are live apps like SkyDrive, Mail, People, Calendar, and there are Xbox apps like games, music, and video. All these games are written using the hybrid technology. They have HTML5 and JavaScript on the front end, and they're still using their existing C++ code on the back end. So you have a very strong precedent for rich shipping apps which have embraced this technology. And VS provides you great tools to help you to build these hybrid apps. You can have single VS solutions with multiple projects, each written using different languages. And then you can link these projects to each other. And through this linkage, VS understands what to do. For example, if you have a C++ project a JavaScript project referencing a C++ project, VS will know the right elements to extract from the C++ project to give to the JavaScript project, both at design time as well as runtime. And as we saw earlier, we were able to consume a third-party SDK from a C++ project. You can do the same thing from within a JavaScript project as well. So our next demo is actually going to focus on such a hybrid experience, and we'll also see how things like IntelliSense and debugging behave in such a hybrid during building such a hybrid app. So okay, let's switch back again to the demo. And this time, again, I'm going to open up this solution. So we're going to do exactly the same thing as we did in XAML earlier in HTML now. But on the back end, we're going to use the same C++ component to do the face detection. Because if I try to do that in JavaScript, it will suck the life out of my machine. So let me try to run this app. This is a pure HTML and JavaScript app. As you see, there was no building required. It was just able to run right away. So it's a very similar app with the same two buttons called load images and detect faces. In load images, I can select all these images and see them displayed in a grid view just like I was able to in XAML. And when I say detect faces, nothing happens because I don't have any code in there yet. So let me close this app and go back to VS. So if I open up this default.javascript file at the bottom, you'll see that the detect faces async function is empty. This function is the event handler for the detect faces click button. So it's empty. We're going to fill in some code. But for now, let's add an existing C++ project to the same solution. So I have this project called Vinati Face Detect Ready. So I have now two projects, one JavaScript app project and one C++ component project in the same solution. Let's take a look at the C++ project. If I look at the header file of the C++ project, you'll see that it's a very simple, just one namespace and just one class inside that namespace. And this class contains the API that we saw earlier, the extract faces from file async and search files, just two API. So this project is actually the implementation of the third-party component that we saw earlier. So all I've done here is I've used this header called ocvfacedetect.h, which is a pure C++ API. There's no C++ CX involved. There's no Windows runtime involved. I downloaded this from the web, and I was able to write a simple C++ CX class on top of this C++ code, any regular standard C++ code, of which there is no dearth in this world. And I was able to provide some components that can be used by any language now. In this case, that language is JavaScript. Let's see how that happens. So if I build the Vinati face detect, because this is C++, it still requires building, and go back to my JavaScript project and say add reference, and this time in the solution projects, I'll add a reference to the C++ project called Vinati face detect. And now, just by the virtue of adding a reference from the JavaScript project to the C++ project, my JavaScript code is now set up correctly to consume the C++ component. And let's see how that happens. If I go back to my default.js file, now I'm going to try and instantiate a JavaScript object corresponding to my C++ code. So I say var obj equal to new. You see that at the bottom, there's this option called Vinati face detect, which is the namespace in my C++ code. So my JavaScript project is able to understand the C++ code, and it is providing me JavaScript-relevant IntelliSense corresponding to C++. So I can select this, and when I say dot, I see all the elements inside that namespace. Some of them are artificially added by the JavaScript engine, but some of them are real. For example, this Vinati component, which is a real class there. And I can call an API on this object. When I say obj dot, I see all the API inside that class. Some of them are, again, added by the JavaScript engine, but some of them are real. For example, this extract faces from file async that we saw earlier. The E is lowercase because JavaScript IntelliSense is camel-cased. You'll see that a lot in JavaScript. So I can call this API. And just like C++, all you need to do after calling this async API, remember this is an async API, it will not do the work right away. So you need to provide some handlers to handle when the result is actually has actually arrived. So when I say dot then, and now in JavaScript, I need to provide three lambdas as a IntelliSense can actually tell you. I need to provide a lambda to handle the completion situation. I need to handle a lambda, I need to provide a lambda to handle errors. And then I need to provide a lambda to handle progress. And remember, we are interested only in progress this time around, just like in C++. So let's put in that. So the first lambda for completion, let's leave it empty. Second lambda for errors, let's leave this one empty too. And the third one for progress. So if you remember, progress really is the path of a face file. So all I need to do now is I need to do this helper function called add path to list to add this progress into face file list, which is very similar to what we had in XAML. Face file list is the HTML data binding equivalent of the XAML face file list that we saw earlier. The same concepts apply. So if I go ahead and build this app, bring up the app bar again and say detect faces. You'll see that the faces are getting detected. This is JavaScript calling into C++ code, and C++ doing all the heavy lifting, and JavaScript is doing the nice work that it always does of displaying images in nice layouts. So that's, again, a very powerful example of what you can achieve with C++, even when you're not creating your complete app in C++. So, for example, if you look at this Maps app, this is a hybrid C# and C++ app. The entire app is written using XAML and C#, whereas the map renderer is actually written using C++ and DirectX. So it's possible to do things like these now. Okay, so let's switch back to the slides. So there is a quick whirlwind tour of the different C++ features. I did not show you everything. There is more. There's more DirectX features. There are more DirectX debugging features, which are very relevant to you. And they apply to both metro and non-metro scenarios. So C++ has really been invigorated in the VS 2012 release. So the summary is that C++ is ready for Windows 8 now. It plays a huge role in all the metro-style app models. It's supported by XAML and designers, a concept which has not been known to C++ developers in quite some time. And if you're after power and performance, C++ is still your best friend. So with that, you know, I look forward to your questions. If you have any questions, let me know. Yes. So the question is, what does VS 2012 do to support the new C++ standards? So you're referring to C++ 11 standard, right? So we did, in VS 2010, we did introduce some parts of C++ 11 standard even before it became a standard. Things like auto, lambda, R value references, things like those were introduced in VS 2010. There are more language and library features that we have introduced in VS 2012. We have not gone all the way because our major focus has been to provide a great support for metro-style apps. But we have added things like file system, like atomics, futures to the STL library. And there are also some language features. I don't have the complete list right now, but we have a blog post that talks about all the new features. And we'll be doing more stuff. We try to keep up with the standard as much as possible. More questions? All right, I'll stick here. Feel free to come by and ask any questions, and thanks for coming by.